What stories did this experience of the planter give rise to? Your favorite stories in plant mythology?
Well, the cutting up and burial and then growing of the plant world, the world of the plant that you eat, being already a cut up dead body, is the dominant motif, I would say, in most of the tales. It occurs all over the place, particularly in the Pacific cultures and in the Americas.
Tell me that story of the origin of maize as Longfellow borrowed it from the Chippewas, didn't he, or the Algonquins?
Well, it's an Algonquin story, and it is simply of the boy in his vision. He sees a young man come to him with plumes on his head and green and so forth, and the visitant invites the young man to a wrestling match and allows them to win. And wins and wins. This happens about three or four times. But he tells them, the last time I come, you must kill me and bury me and take care of the place where you will have buried me. And the boy then, in the last one, actually does what he has been told to do, plants the man, the visitant, and in time comes back and sees the corn growing. And it was a boy who had been concerned for his father, who was a hunter but old, and he was thinking, isn't there some other way to get food besides this one? And so it came to him out of his intentions. A lovely story.
Some other way of getting food than hunting.
Yeah.
But the idea is that this visitor, this figure in the vision, has to die and be buried before the plant can grow from the remains of his body.
That's the main theme. It comes up, almost a duplicate of this one throughout Polynesia, for instance.
Well, there's one in Polynesia about the legend of the maiden Hina. You remember that one?
Well, all of the legends in the Polynesian area have a maiden named Hina, and she's associated with the moon. And the death and resurrection of the moon is a dominant theme.
What happens to her in this legend?
Well, the girl who loves to bathe in a certain pool, and there's a great eel that is swimming around in the pool, and day after day he scrapes across her thigh as she's bathing, and then one fine lovely day he turns into a young man, and he becomes her lover for a moment, and then goes away and comes back again and back again. And then one time when he comes, he says, just as the Algonquian visitant, now next time I come to visit you, you must kill me and cut off my head and bury my head. And she does so, and there grows from the buried head a coconut tree. And when you pick a coconut and look at the coconut, you can see it's just the size of the head, and you can see eyes and things and the little nodules that simulate the head.
So what you have is the same story springing up in cultures unrelated to each other. What is it
saying?
Well,
to such an extent that it's stunning. And after years and years and years of reading these things, I'm still overwhelmed at the similarities in cultures that are far, far apart. There are two explanations of this. One explanation is that the human psyche is essentially the same all over the world. It is the inward aspect of the human body which is essentially the same all over the world, with the same organs, with the same instincts, with the same impulse systems, with the same conflicts, the same fears. There is also the counter theory of diffusion.